coming at you from the Hey Yo Studios. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Coming at you live from the AO studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight. Rick Pitino returns to Madison Square Garden. The Clippers are 0-5 with James Harden, and Bailey Zappi replaces Mac Jones again. But we begin today's show with another thrilling Sunday of football. We saw the Giants get blowed out by the Cowboys, the Jazz get blowed out by the 49ers, and the Jets fail to score a touchdown in prime time again. But one of the surprises from this weekend actually happened on Monday night, when the Denver Broncos went into Buffalo and beat the Buffalo Bills. There were some penalties at the end of the game, which gave the Broncos the chance to kick the game-winning field goal. But on Wednesday morning, or actually on Tuesday morning, Buffalo offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey was fired, despite Buffalo being number 4 in the league in points per game. McDermott said a change needed to be made, but Z, will this help turn things around for the Buffalo Bills?
They're 8th in the league in points for. They're 5th in the league in points against. They're 7th in the league in average passing yards per game. The pieces are there.
Yeah.
The pieces are there. Ken Dorsey, Brian Daboll, now Joe Brady. It doesn't change really what the identity and the focus of this team is, right? In the time that Josh Allen has been in the NFL, they have never, and The Rock means never, established any kind of running game outside of Josh Allen, right? Think of the running backs that have gone through in that time. You've had Devin Singletary, looked pretty good in Houston. Zach Moss, looked good for that short burst in Indy before he got inevitably hurt again. Now you have James Cook, was pretty good in college, right? Leading the team in 615 yards. 615 yards. That's your bell cow. 615. You had Matt Breida, ran through there. Now he's backing up Saquon. You got Latavius Murray. Old man Latavius. Still going strong. There's no good supplementary running game for Josh Allen. And I'm sure this also has to do with Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs being him, as he loves to say, being the number one wideout on the team, wanting to dominate the ball. There's a reason why, like, his counterpart is a Gabe Davis, right? Or there's a reason why Dalton Kincaid is there instead of a guy like Dawson Knox. There appears to be a lot of dysfunction despite the success. And I don't know if Joe Brady is going to do anything to really upset the apple cart. Because what do the Buffalo Bills need Josh Allen to do? Protect the football. Don't throw stupid picks. So be smart with football. That's it. That's all he needs to do.
Yeah,
rein it in. Your defense is not what it used to be. Milano's out. Trey White is out. You've lost key pieces. You need to not make mistakes. You cannot afford to make mistakes anymore because the defense isn't there to bail you out. So I don't think that this band-aid on a bullet hole is going to help. I think that in the offseason, I'm not saying Sean McDermott needs to be fired, because it's one bad season. And even if they're 5-5, it's not like they completely bottomed out. It's not like it's the Arizona Cardinals. You're entitled to a bad season, especially with the run of success that you had. But personnel-wise, things need to change, even once you get a competent offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's missing guys. I mean, the numbers were pretty awful. You know, he was 15 for 26 for 177 yards, a touchdown, and two interceptions.
Yeah.
Man, that's bad. Stephon Diggs, 3 receptions, 34 yards. I mean, you touched on it. At least he's not their at least Josh Allen is not their leading rusher anymore. James Cook was. I thought it was nice that they fed him the ball as much as they did. 12 carries for 109 yards. But I mean, I hate to say this, but maybe we've been just giving Buffalo too much credit all these years. You know, maybe this is just who they are. This is who they are. And Josh Allen's good. He's good. He's great. He's good. He's got definitely a live arm. He turns the ball over, man. He turns the ball over, and the Denver Broncos played this beautifully. Now, granted, if it wasn't for what it was, I think it was a special teams penalty and a pass interference, I think, you know, where Buffalo wins the game barely. But you shouldn't be struggling against the Broncos, man. I mean, the Jets are coming down this week. You're going to struggle against them? I mean, they beat you already. And the Jets beat the Broncos.
Bills had 12 men on the field at the end. They missed the kick.
That's it. The 12 men missed
the fucking kick. Right. They missed it. Right. It was over. It was in the
But
bag.
Somehow Ken Dorsey gets the blame. You know, I feel like this was like a personal. I think Josh Allen said that he took Ken Dorsey's firing personally. Mm-hmm. You know, I like Ken Dorsey. I wasn't a fan. I liked his passing scheme, but the running game was always lacking. But can you really trust Buffalo? You can't trust Buffalo, right? I mean, you're not picking them to beat any teams. You're not picking them to go to Kansas City and win. You're not picking them to really leapfrog anybody, are you?
No. I mean, I'm picking them to stay close with the Jets this weekend.
That's what they're doing. They did throttle the Dolphins when the Dolphins played them in Buffalo. So, I mean, they can show sparks of life, but there's just no consistency. And the defense is falling apart. I mean, come on, you played the Denver Broncos. Now, granted, Russ is actually having a really good year. He was 24 for 29 for 193 yards and 2 touchdowns. Like, what? Russell Wilson, like, came into Buffalo. Buffalo's a tough place to play. So that's where I am. I don't think this firing is going to really shake things up. I don't think it's going to matter. Joe Brady is not a good play caller, so I don't see things getting better. I don't think Joe Brady could teach anything to Josh Allen that Josh doesn't already know. But this weekend's going to say it all, because if they lose this weekend, Z, I mean, McDermott might be losing his job, because then they're going to be under 500 with 2 losses to the New York Jets.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that this is 1 year. I think he gets another bite at the apple, the same way that Brandon Bean's going to get another bite at the apple.
But Z, you think it's going to get better? You don't. I'm starting to think the Buffalo Bills peaked.
Oh, they absolutely peaked. Yeah, they absolutely did. They're in the stage where they're losing players.
Ouch.
The system around them reached the apex when they were playing the Chiefs, and then it has not been sustained ever since. Now, it's a failure on Brandon Bean and the organization to not reinforce. Right, because this team is talented enough. I, I, it's cl- clearly talented enough. On paper, it's a very talented team. But, and this is where things, this is where you may disagree with me. Another team that was very talented, that used to be very talented, that was inconsistent and then couldn't seal the deal, the San Diego Chargers. Mm-hmm. You had LT. You had Antonio Gates. You had Phillip Rivers. They could never seal the goddamn deal. Could never. We ran a poll on our X account. Who is this generation's Phillip Rivers? Josh Allen beat Dak Prescott 2-1.
Ooh.
So that's very telling. That's very telling of what people think about Josh Allen. He's just good enough to get you beat. He's Phillip Rivers. He's Brett Favre. He's that guy. He's become, you know, Stephon Diggs like to say he's him. Josh Allen, he's him.
Yikes.
You love that zip on the ball, right? He throws it so hard that he breaks your receiver's fingers. Yeah. But if it's going to the other team, if you're making stupid mistakes throwing in a triple coverage, it doesn't matter how hard you throw it.
Yeah.
Need a little inspiration in the kitchen? Want to try something new? Or maybe you just need a new YouTube cooking show to binge? Well, I have the answer for all three. As You Eat It, hosted by me, Z. I invite you into my home and show you methods designed to empower and inspire you in the kitchen. Cook how you want to cook. Eat how you want to eat. Eat as you eat it. That's As You Eat It, available only on YouTube. AZ, You Eat It. Check it out and let's get cooking.
Well, switching over to a team that's winning, the Vikings have won their fifth game in a row and their second game in a row behind the arm and legs of Josh Dobbs. The Cardinals traded Dobbs and a seventh round pick for a sixth round pick. Looking around the league, did the Cardinals get fleeced by the Vikings?
I don't know if they necessarily got fleeced by the Vikings because it was only a seventh round draft pick. And what did they realistically give up to get him?
Well, they could have got more, right?
In theory.
Or you could have shopped him around a little bit.
In theory, right? I mean, realistically, where could he have gone? The Vikings, which was a glaring need. The Jets.
Yeah. Like, I can't help but think about how the Jets could have gotten better. Like, substantially better. How about the Patriots at this point? We're going to talk about them next, but what a fucking disaster that is. Or what about the Colts? I know they got Gardner Minshew, but the way Dobbs is playing, Dobbs is like a top 10 fantasy quarterback right now.
Or here's a crazy idea. The Cleveland Browns could have held on to him because now Deshaun Watson's out.
Yes. Well, no, Deshaun Watson was hurt at the trade deadline. You could have even traded for him then, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I'm trying to say is like,
They traded him to Arizona. They could have kept him.
Yeah.
They could have kept him.
Right. Well, that's what I'm trying to say is, like, you look around the league, quarterback is a premium position. You got a guy who's playing really well that could help a team win, and you're just giving him up. You're just giving him up for – you're basically trading, like, pasta for a laptop. Like, that's the equivalent of what went down. This guy just won 24-3 with a team he's only been with for 2 weeks. You're telling me he wouldn't play well with a defense like the Jets or a defense like the Browns? I just think they could have got more for the guy.
Well, I mean, the way they're looking at it is that they had their former number one overall pick.
Which is fine. That's fine. I'm not saying keep Dobbs and not start. I'm not saying keep Dobbs and not start Kyler. What I'm trying to say is like, you should have been calling around to every team and you should have been trying to get the best deal. It sounds like this deal went down late and you're like, yeah, it's fine. We're good. We're just going to take a draft. We're going to take a late draft pick. That's cool. See you, Josh. Like, you didn't imagine how much more you could have built this up big time.
You also, you know, it's a little bit of recency bias on our part, right? If you're looking at his career, he is 2-9. So his only two wins have been his last two wins. So let's be real here. So that's kind of where we are. Career-wise, 13 touchdowns, 8 picks. Not great. He's a solid, serviceable. If P.J. Walker could start in this league, Joshua Dobbs could start in this league. I'm not saying that. But could they have possibly gotten a conditional pick? Maybe. Maybe. But
is he not comeback player of the year?
You know that. You know that that's not going to happen.
Is he not in the MVP discussion if he gets the Vikings to the playoffs?
No. Absolutely.
You're selling
not.
This guy short, man. You're selling this guy short.
No, I'm selling him just right.
If he leads them to the North title, nobody's voting for him. I know there's Hill. I know there's Stroud. I know there's other guys out there, but you're telling me he ain't going to get a vote if he leads them to the North title over Detroit?
The guy from Minnesota will vote for him. There you go. So there, you got your MVP vote. The guy from Minnesota. So the same way Jared Goff is going to get an MVP vote from the guy from Michigan, like that's where MVP votes go. So it's biased. It's completely biased.
See, he couldn't quarterback your team?
Nobody can quarterback my team. Dude, you wouldn't even be able to quarterback my team. Like, I wouldn't want you to because I like having you on this show and I want you to live. The Giants are irreparably...
You say you didn't want the Giants to give them a call.
This season's done. Like, why am I doing it? Why am I going to do it? It doesn't make sense.
You don't want to watch garbage.
I got better things to do in my time. Like, I'm telling you, the Giants...
He could win 4 games for the Giants.
Not this team. Forget NASA, he'd be nominated for sainthood.
So Joe Shine or Joe Sheen has failed you.
The players have failed.
The players have failed.
The players have failed.
It's the players.
At some point, the players have to play. The players have yet to play.
You know, I know this really is supposed to be a Cardinals-Josh Dobbs segment, but... I heard a report that if the Giants have a top 3 pick, that they might not select a quarterback. That they might decide to build around Daniel Jones. What are your thoughts on that? Like, because they're talking about possibly taking Marvin Harrison the second at 3.
Yippee.
Or taking a left tackle at 4.
Because they, you know, because Andrew Thomas was doing such a great job. You know, he actually, besides the injuries, Andrew Thomas was having a pretty decent career. The fact that they were able to get Justin Pugh off the street, straight off his couch, he's the best lineman they got right now. That's all you gotta say about how poorly the offensive line position is coached. Like, this is not Pat Flaherty. This is not Rich Seibert. This is not, you know, Chris Snee. It's not Sean O'Hara. It's not Kareem McKenna. It's not those guys. Like, those guys, they ain't coming back. I'm aware. Building around Daniel Jones was a mistake. We knew this. Now you have the situation with Saquon. He's franchised. You're going to let him walk. You have to. Because you invested all this money in this putt. And, you know, the kid tries hard. I'll give him that. A for effort. This is not an effort league. It's a results league.
Who's this? Jones?
Jones.
It's not his fault.
I'm not saying it's his fault, but he's the first one in. He works hard. You can tell he's got the pulse of the team. You can tell he's got his guys behind him. He's just not good enough.
I don't know about that. I don't think they ever gave him the support he needed. Who's he throwing to, man? Like, and Barkley was hurt. Only 2 years Barkley was healthy. I don't think Daniel Jones should have been drafted as high as he was. I'm a big proponent of people in the last 2 or 3 years have been getting drafted higher than their worth.
Because quarterback is an overrated position. Overrated. Let's talk about this, right? Last year, Bryce Young, completely overrated.
Stroud?
Stroud was underrated. because he's an Ohio State quarterback. Mm. Ohio State does not have the best results, right?
No.
Now, look at years previous. Jordan Love, completely overrated. Trey Lance, completely overrated. Zach Wilson, completely overrated. Justin Fields, completely overrated. Trevor Lawrence was about rated where he was. The only problem is he couldn't come out a year earlier.
What about Joe B?
Joe B, right where he should be.
Joe B's a killer.
Joe Burrow is a killer. He's exactly what you want. He's that good.
I think him. Herbert's a killer too. Herbert's got a great arm.
Herbert's gonna get killed. His coach is trying to kill him. That's the problem. Herbert's a stud. He's got, you know, but how many have we put in the he's a stud or he's that's three guys. That's three. Four, if you know. We'll count Joe B. That's four guys. The rest of them are in the overrated category. So it's a situation where I would rather roll with a veteran.
Okay.
Taylor had a good beat on the offense. He had seemed to have a good understanding. And you know what, Tyrod Taylor, yes, he's injury prone. They had signs of life. So
yes,
why not?
I do agree. To look good with him.
Would Dobbs have provided that? Possibly. Possibly. But it's unlikely. These are the two best games of his career. So let's not go crazy right now, right? The same way that we were kind of tempering the Brock Purdy stuff, I think we need to temper this too. Your record says you are. He's 2-9.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, another team that you are what you say you are just turned 2-8, and that'd be the New England Patriots.
Ugh.
They were trailing the Colts 10-7 with 1:52 left in the game, and Bill Belichick had an epiphany. He decided to turn to Bailey Zappi for the last drive of the game. This was the third time Jones was benched this season. Zappi ultimately threw an interception and the game was over. If you were Mac Jones, would you throw any more passes for the New England Patriots?
Is Bill Belichick trying to get fired?
I don't know how you do this to this guy. How you're like, thanks, Mac. We're going to take it from here.
Nick Saban gave you an NFL-ready quarterback and you just ran him into the ground. What the hell happened to this dude?
How could you look him in the eye and tell him, all right, Bailey's going to finish this one? It's like, Bill.
Yeah, I guess he threw another gut-wrenching interception, but, I mean, what's Bailey Zappi done? It's not like you're saying, oh, we're going to, you know, Tom Brady, like, we're going to put him out there. No, it's Bailey Zappi. 3 of 7 for 25 yards and a pick. You know?
Bill, I played 57 minutes of this game. I'm going to finish the last fucking minute in 250 seconds here.
The fuck you are. Matt Jones, 15-20 for 170. Those are Tommy DeVito numbers. Just call it what it is. Those are Tommy DeVito numbers. I wonder if Matt Jones' mom makes as good chicken cutlets as Tommy DeVito's mom. But, you know, I don't know. Bill, since Brady left, Bill's kind of gone off the deep end. I think we can admit that. You let J.C. Jackson go. You brought J.C. Jackson back. You waived Jack Jones. You gave a player off the practice squad a 2-year extension and then cut him 2 weeks later. What are you doing?
Maybe he's bipolar now.
I don't know what's going on with Bill Belichick, because these decisions, unless he's so unhappy as a GM that he's just like, he's daring Robert Kraft to fire him. He's like, please just take this away from me.
I'm pretty sure Mac Jones has thrown his last pass this year.
He has to.
I assume that they're going to go into this bye. And when they come out of the bye, I think Will Greer is going to be the quarterback.
Oh, God.
I think Bailey Zappi is going to be the backup. And I think Mac Jones is not even going to be dressing. I mean, that's just my opinion. Like, how could he possibly roll this kid back out there when in a 10-7 game with 1:52 on the clock, you benched him for the third time this year, right? And I would think that, see, the thing about Mac Jones, he's still on his rookie deal. So I would assume that despite all this, he's probably still going to come back next year. And it'll kind of be like this bridge quarterback to whoever is going to succeed him. And you're going to try to see if Mac Jones is on board with that or if he's going to be a problem. Because after this past game, he cannot go back to being a starter this year. It's almost like the Zach Wilson situation. Like, we started Mike White. Like, we can't go back to Zach now. Like, we can't. We'll go back to Flacco. We can't go back to Zach.
But, I mean, Mac Jones at this point is the ultimate change of scenery candidate. But where is he going to go? I mean, I wouldn't mind him on the Giants. Now, he's going to get killed behind that offensive line. Now, who else is going to be out there? If the Vikings lose out on Kirk Cousins and Joshua Dobbs.
Same thing. I thought about that.
The Raiders, if O'Connell is not the guy. I don't see a starting job. I really don't see a starting job for Mac Jones in this league outside.
Colts.
They have Richardson, though. They drafted Richardson. Like, they didn't see enough not to believe in him.
Okay.
So I really think that you're looking at maybe the Giants. Maybe, you know, these are stretches.
Sam Howell's out playing it.
Man. So, you know.
Sam Howell, number four fantasy quarterback.
It's hard to see a landing spot for Mac Jones, but it's very hard for me to see him continuing with his organization too, unless Bill Belichick goes. Now, there are rumors, and take them for what they are. There are rumors that in the offseason, there is going to be a trade for Belichick. An organization wants to take him on as a coach and GM. Now, take that for what it's worth. I don't think Bill Belichick as the GM, at this point, he's lost a lot on his fastball.
Yeah, I mean, when was the last time he drafted a player worth a damn?
You got me? Like, I mean, Gonzalez looked okay this year, but okay doesn't cut the mustard, right? You have, think of the guys that scouting department brought in, right? They drafted Gronk, they drafted Brady, they drafted Aaron Hernandez, they drafted, you know, they drafted Dante Hightower. They drafted and developed these players. They drafted the McCourties. They drafted Devin McCourty. So, Asante Samuel. All these guys came through the organization. Lately, I mean, we can point to the one draft pick that seemed to be the initial head scratcher. And from there on, it was just kind of a slow, steady, downhill. And that was N'Keal Harry.
Where is that guy now?
Out of the league, I think. Out of the league or in Chicago, whichever one.
That's the same thing.
Same thing.
Same thing.
What?
Wide receiver in Chicago? Yeah, you're out of the league, dude. You don't know it, but you're out of the league.
get that sweet XFL contract. But, you know, like, that was the beginning of the end for Bill Belichick. It's like, what are you doing? This guy can't catch. You brought in a receiver that can't
catch.
Kobe
Myers can't catch either, despite what people think.
And Jacoby Myers, he's. He has his moments. He's not number one. He's kind of like an Antoine Randle L type. He was a quarterback. So he could provide.
He's like
you
president with that. Of the Jacoby Myers fan club. He'd love to hear you say that.
I mean, Jacoby and Myers is a great friggin', like, that was a great commercial growing up. A bunch of ambulance chasers. So I wonder if that was the inspiration. But, I mean, yeah, just Belichick, I don't know what the hell he's doing. Bailey Zappi's not the answer. Mac Jones isn't the answer. There are no answers right now. There are none. Bill O'Brien screaming at Mac Jones on the sideline.
No, I didn't even get to see that. That really happened. Jeez.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you want Bill O'Brien, what do you want him to do? Right? Yeah. You know what? He's going to sit there. He's going to take it because he's not Tom Brady. And you're lucky because Tom Brady would eat your lunch again. But There's really, like, there's nothing. This is a proud franchise that is falling. Their empire is crumbling, right? Just right before our eyes. That's what's happening.
Are you in need of air care maintenance or service? I have the company for you. Air Care Technicians. They service the Westchester and Northern Bronx area and can help you with all your heating and cooling maintenance and service needs. Just give them a call at 914-315-1547. Again, that's 914-315-1547. Or shoot them an email at aircaretechnicians@gmail.com. These guys are the real deal, as they are veteran-owned, licensed, and insured. Make sure to tell them that D&Z sent you.
And speaking of crumbling right before our eyes, the Los Angeles Clippers have not won a game since acquiring the system.
System.
So, when will they get their first win? And when will James Harden inevitably request this trade?
I would love to be like a reporter after the game, like in questioning James Harden. Be like, excuse me, Mr. Harden, when does the system start? Like, when's it gonna get going? But to his defense, he did play a good game against the Nuggets. However, he didn't take a shot in the fourth quarter. I think he just took one shot. The problem with the Clippers is they are at their best when they go small. But when they go small, teams like the Nuggets or the Suns, they will dominate them because of the height, right? You're going to just keep pounding them inside and there's nothing you can do. So rumor has it that Russell Westbrook is going to be moving to the bench starting Friday. And they're hoping that this is going to help them get into a groove. The only thing I'll say is, like, I do think Ty Lue is a good coach. He spent time as assistant coach under good coaches, and you know, he was able to pull out that victory in Cleveland. Like, I do think he knows how to coach stars. I think he'll figure it out, but he's got to figure it out soon. And as far as when is their first win gonna come, the Rockets are good. I think the Spurs are good. Maybe the Pelicans. So a week from Friday. And that's part of the play-in tournament,
which is another fucking disaster. They've turned this, you know, I love the MLS, but at the same time I hate the MLS for that reason. It's like, oh, now this is for the Confed Cup, or it's for the League's Cup, or it's for the Campeones Cup. It's like, dude, what matters here? Right? It's like the teams in the Premier League taking breaks for the Europa or the Champions League. You know, it breaks up the flow of the season. Like, in that part, it's kind of annoying because there's so many things you need to pay attention to at once. This was unnecessary to begin with, and now it's needlessly complicated.
It's unnecessary to begin with.
It's unnecessary to begin with. They're splitting 500 grand. That's couch cushion money to NBA players. I think LeBron just found that in his couch cushion. And that's where they got it. That's how they raised the money. Here, Adam, I found this. We'll divide it up a little bit. But
it'd be funny if LeBron's like, can I just pay $500K not to be a part of this playing tournament?
Right? that would be accurate. You know, let's just do that. So you're looking at, the Clippers are averaging 113 points a game, right? 24 assists, 43 rebounds. Your leading scorer is Paul George. Leading assist guy is Russ. They need James Harden, right? They definitely need James Harden to be James Harden. but he needs to work within the confines of a team. Like, that seems to be that seems to be the missing piece here, right?
But I thought he said he was a system. Isn't he the system?
The solar system. Everything revolves around him. And at the same time, it's more like a black hole. Everything gets sucked in, and nothing escapes. Well, science class for you, kids. They've lost six in a row. That's not good. You know? The Clippers are spiraling already. 10 games in, they're already spiraling. Right? They were 3-1 when they made this trade. I'm just going to throw that out there. They were 3-1 when they made this trade. And now you're going in against a Rockets team that's well coached, young, fun to watch. A home and home against the Spurs. Maybe they'll pick off one of those games. Maybe they'll pick off part of the home and home. I can see the Pelicans. I can really see the Mavericks. You know.
Don't sleep on the Mavericks, man. Mavericks are good.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, James Harden, there's a significance to that game. He's playing Kyrie. So there's definitely.
How about Boston? Boston playing the 76ers tonight. And no Tatum, no Brown. That's garbage.
Is Adam Silver finding them? Isn't that part of the new, the new playing incentive? The new playing incentive?
Think it's garbage.
It's absolute crap. Absolute crap is what that is. But
I'm game, man.
So I mean, let's look at this further. If we go down further, they've got the Nuggets again, the Kings, a back to back with the Warriors. The Blazers. This could extend for a little while. So if they don't pick off a game against the Spurs, this could really extend up until December 11th against the Blazers. Blazers have nothing to play for. All right? I mean, they're rebuilding. So they could take the asshole and use it as a teachable moment. As far as when James Harden requests his trade, I don't think it's going to be James Harden, man. I've said it. I've said it multiple times now. If I'm Kawhi Leonard, you're building around him? Why am I here?
Well, apparently they're all friends. Apparently they're all friends, and apparently they all like to play together. At least that's what I heard. They're all LA people. They're all Los Angeles people.
At the end of the day, it's great that they're all friends and they all play together, yada yada, right? That's all wonderful, but there's still only one ball. Harden wants the ball, Kawhi wants the ball, Paul George wants the ball, and Russ wants the ball. That doesn't work. That never works. Somebody inevitably will not be eating. And somebody's going to get pissed. That's how this works. James Harden he's running out of places to go. You know, eventually somebody's going to say, no, you're staying. So that leaves you with Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook's already been cut in this league. They'll send him packing again. So that leaves you with Paul George, Kawhi Leonard. I think Kawhi would go at this point. I mean, he can see the writing on the wall. He won with the Spurs. He won with the Raptors. I'm sure he's smart enough to recognize a dead end when he sees one. I'm sure Paul George can recognize that this thing is going nowhere. He was better off in Oklahoma City. So, I mean, Paul George to the Knicks could be interesting. Kawhi Leonard back to the Spurs to play with Wembanyama could be interesting. Like, I would say those pieces would move before James Harden moves again. he may throw out a trade request, like, oh, just for shits and giggles, just to see if anybody would be crazy enough to do it. But I don't think that he's going anywhere for the foreseeable future. Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their hoodies, snapbacks, graphic tees, accessories, and more. Season 3 merch is up now. Get it while you can. Go to fckclout.com and get all of your needs for men and women. That's fckclout.com. The Johnnies had their first league game at Madison Square Garden with head coach Rick Pitino on Monday. And it did not go as well as the Johnnies had hoped when they poached Coach Pitino from Iona. They lost to Michigan 89-73. Close. Well, relatively close. So are the Johnnies in trouble, or is Juwan Howard's team just really good?
Yeah, so, you know, I think everybody had high hopes, and we were all talking a big game. We all thought, you know, they were going to play up to snuff with Michigan. But, I mean, honestly, it is Michigan, okay? So you're not going to beat many teams when you give up 47 points to the opposing team's backcourt. McDaniel and Burnett put on a show. One guy had 21 points in the first half. I mean, that's really tough to come back from. Pitino's whole thing has always been shoot the three well, defend the three well, and we'll win games. I think they're going to be okay. I think Michigan is just really good. Like, not for nothing, but Michigan is really, really good. So I feel like they're going to be okay. The sky is not falling. I think they have a tournament coming up this weekend where they're going to be playing like North Texas, Holy Cross, and that should help them get ready for like a big bout against West Virginia December 1st. So I'm not worried. Johnny Nation shouldn't be worried. Michigan's a really good team. Everything's going to be okay.
It's the rotting corpse of the Big East.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So where are they? They're in middle of the pack. Right? They're not as good as UConn. They're not as good as Butler, Creighton, Marquette. Yes, they are.
Oh, they're better than Butler, Creighton, and Marquette, too. They are. They're going to be up there, man. UConn's the big boy that, you know, is still top dog in the conference. Seton Hall has come a long way. But they're not middle of the pack. They shouldn't have more than 8 losses. They should be able to get into the Big East tournament, no problem. There should be an 8 or 9 seed in the NCAA tournament.
We'll see. But if you're looking at the Big East, Butler's a perennial power at this point. Creighton's a perennial power. Marquette is a perennial power. UConn's a perennial power.
You're a perennial power.
I am a perennial power. You're a perennial power. We're all perennial powers. St. John's, it's a numbers game. An absolute numbers game. They're going to fall in with the Villanova, Seton Hall. They're going to be kind of in there. Now, Villanova's fallen off. Now, that's not their fault. Jay Wright is gone, and all of their good players are in the NBA. That happens. Xavier's not bad either. Like, it's not bad. It's not great. It's not bad. Could they be in the 8-9 playoff? Sure. They could be in the 8-9 play-in. If they win the conference outright, sure. They can be. The Big East, you're probably looking probably in that 7-10 range if we're doing the Joe Lunardi thing, depending on the draw. They could be kind of in there. depending, I mean, if they're in a really strong conference, if they're in a really strong bracket, they could probably drop to the 12. This is all very presumptuous, of course. But it's the third game of the season. Like, let's pump the brakes on this. If you're looking at it, Soriano, one of the big gets, he played okay in 25 minutes, 15 points, 9 boards, solid, well, pretty good, right? Jenkins, Dingle, and then nobody else scored in double digits. They need more. Going up against a team like Michigan, who was in the national championship not that long ago, like, that's, you know, it's to be expected. McDaniel and Burnett combined for 47 points, right? The top three scorers on St. John's didn't even reach 40. The top three scorers only got to 35. So it really is about the levels to this. There's the Big Ten, and then there's the Big East. The talent disparity is there. St. John's will be fine. But Big East isn't great. Let's not overestimate what they are. They just happen to run into a really good team at the worst possible time.
Yeah.
That's it, and that's all. And I mean, look at what happened, you know, in the tournament with, you know, Michigan State and Kentucky and all that. You know, this happens. Kentucky put a scare into Michigan State. It happens, especially at this time of the year. Teams really don't know what they are unless you're returning players, right? And in the one and done era, that doesn't really happen all that often. Now with the NIL team, they're going to stay or transfer around. So we have this new uncharted territory of effectively free agency, right? It's effectively basketball free agency in college. So Patino is going to put his stamp on this team. He puts his stamp on every team he ends up with. They're going to be fine. They're absolutely going to be fine. It's not like Manhattan College getting waxed by Kansas. Right? Johnny's only lost by 16 to a powerhouse. Calm down, Red Storm. You guys are fine.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. We really care about what's under your hood.
It's the In Route, where friends of the show get a special segment with us. Want to be part of the action? Want to be the newest member of the In Crowd? You know what to do. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in those DMs on Fade Route Podcast on IG, or hit that Twitter, FaderouteDNZ.
Joining us on the In Route today, we have former head coach of the Spack and Kill Spartans and avid Jet fan, Clinton D'Souza. Thanks for coming on the show again.
Thanks for having me. I know it's an interesting time to talk Jet football.
Oh, it's a beautiful time. Michael Carter would love to talk about some Jets football. Unfortunately, he plays for a different team now. Yeah. But man, we'll start you off with this. I mean, the Jets had primetime games in back-to-back weeks. They have not scored a touchdown in 11 quarters. But should they be taken seriously by other teams in the league?
If they were only allowed to play one half of football and that be defense, yes. the fact that they have to roll their offense out there is pretty pathetic. I will say these primetime games are killing me. I'm normally like feeling this type of anger at 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the afternoon. That's my normal anger, and I can get through the rest of my Sunday. 11:30 is no time to be angry. So
I mean, tons of people were staying up late in that Raiders game thinking they were going to win. And then
that's what they do.
This is what they do. This is what they do. And it's just so frustrating because their defense is so good. I mean, the Patriots are horrid this year. Buffalo is 5-5, and you guys can't beat the Raiders. Come
on. Trust me, I feel the same way.
So, yeah, I mean, so like we said, the Jets have trouble scoring touchdowns. Their red zone efficiency is amongst the worst in the league. But listen, you're a former coach. Do woes in the red zone fall on the quarterback, or do they fall on the offensive coordinator?
No offensive coordinator designs a play to be negative, right? So, like, yes, there's a finesse and a game plan to calling plays, but the reality is everything stems from the quarterback. I've had many conversations with quarterbacks, maybe not conversations, but yelling moments at quarterbacks, that it's their fault that we're going off sides. It's their fault that the players don't know what to do. It's their fault that we're not in a rhythm. So as much as I want to blame Hackett, and I'm certainly sure he takes some responsibility and he's trying everything, Zach's got to look in the mirror and realize this just ain't it. I mean, I knew this 3 years ago, but maybe they didn't.
Apparently, you have to tell that to Mike Kafka and Glenn and Ken Dorsey.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, so I understand that other teams are letting their offensive coordinators fall on the sword because, let's face it, Josh Allen is way better than Zach Wilson. But I don't know. In this case, I think Nate gets a pass from me only because it's a new offensive coordinator. The common denominator of the past 3 years has been Zach. It hasn't been offensive coordinator.
The interesting about it when I look at the Jets, right, is what are the important things when you're in the red zone? To me, it's height, speed, and zip on the ball. And they don't have any of those things. They just don't. They don't have any height. They're not going to blow anybody away. Even as good as Garrett Wilson is, you know, speed-wise, he's not going to beat an elite corner. And then in small quarters, quarter. And then Zach can't put that polish on the ball like that, you know, that Allen, that Herbert, that Jameis Winston zip, even though Jameis throws it to the other team, you know, but he could put it, you know, he could put it in that one spot. Zach don't have that.
No, not at all. And that's what's missing. We're not – this guy's got to get some – so, and he has arm talent. I mean, that last play, that Hail Mary, was straight-up arm talent. So, like, I don't know if it's just – it's not –
I mean, Jeff George had arm talent too, Coach.
What'd you say?
I said Jeff George had had arm talent too, Coach.
I'm not saying it's helping him. I'm just saying it's there.
You're just saying it's there.
Jay Cutler had arm talent.
Jay Cutler. Well, you know, Coach D'Souza, Sala and Joe Douglas are sticking with Zach Wilson, and they feel the problems of the team can be shared by all. However, I think the quarterback is the main issue at hand. Listen, I'm going to give you five names here, five quarterbacks, okay? And tell me which guy you'd want as your starter today. Zach Wilson, Josh Dobbs, Cam Newton, Tim Boyle, Colt McCoy.
Wow. I mean, recency bias tells me it's Josh Dobbs.
Who they could have gotten for a seventh rounder and a bag of beans.
Yep, exactly. I would say take him out of that equation, obviously, because they didn't trade for him. I think they need to roll with Tim Boyle at this point. They need to – I know Sala said he doesn't believe in the whole spark idea. I disagree with him. I mean, he does believe in it because he did it last year with Mike White. So he's lying.
Twice.
Right.
He did it with Mike White. Right. Twice.
He's lying.
But how could he walk into that locker room and face those guys week after week where players are doing everything they can to stay in the game? You got Mac Jones getting benched for Bailey Zappe.
Yes.
And then this guy They won't even put Trevor Siemian in.
No,
they
I know.
Go there. He's not
even lose the locker room, the defensive side of the locker room eventually, if he hasn't lost it already.
And then you got poor people like Michael Carter saying, "What did I do wrong? Why am I leaving?"
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't too offended by that move. He's terrible. He's just, I don't know why they put him in on third down. He can't catch, and he costs us penalties, and he doesn't really pass block either. He's tiny. So, like, why was he our third down back? That made no sense. So, good riddance to him. They should release DJ Uzomah, but he makes too much money. But, you know.
Oh, key holding penalty in the red zone on that jerk.
Ugh. And it wasn't even a
You didn't have to. Yeah. You didn't have to. Just let him go. Yeah. It's not going this way. Let him go.
Terrible.
It's the best kind of jet penalty is the self-inflicted wound. It's yes. The one that's absolutely
I'm surprised Robert Saleh's beard isn't gray by this point.
Yeah, well, I think he uses just for men.
It looks painted on.
Yes.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But apparently, you know, Aaron Rodgers is defying all sorts of the science that he hates. Mm. And he apparently believes that he's coming back very, very soon. And he thinks it's like a month or so. And he is loud about it too. He's telling his press secretary Pat McAfee and he's spreading the word, and you know, he's trying to really speak this into existence. So do you believe he's coming back, or is this just simply a way to get the team to keep playing despite all hope being lost? And you know, do you even want him to come back at this point, or are you just writing the season off?
Because
you're within striking distance.
Yeah, the crazy thing is, it's like I thought we were going to be put out to pasture, and then the Bills lose to the Broncos, and I'm like, yeah, this is exactly how they set up Jet fans for false hope. So yeah, of course, if we win the next two games, we're like fighting for the division. So go figure. Do I want him to come back? No, because I still am holding out stupidly false hope for next year that he can come back fully healthy instead of rushing it this year. If he does come back, that means Zach has played well enough to put us in contention. So at that point, why risk bursting your Achilles for even longer when Zach's playing well enough to put us in the playoff contention? So to me, it's a lose-lose. If he comes back and blows it, then it's 2 years gone, no Aaron Rodgers, and he ain't coming back after that. So I don't know. I don't want him to come back. I'm hoping this is all for motivation for our players.
I mean, it's hard to say, you know, because you're trying to keep the ship afloat. But if Robert Saleh is going on the Michael Kay show pleading the fifth about who the quarterback is going to be, and then I don't know.
Yeah, so Robert Saleh, I was a Robert Saleh fan up until that point, because to me, this is a clear lack of leadership and a clear lack of accountability. Now, mind you, he's gained some brownie points back by getting rid of Michael Carter, and supposedly Jeremy Rucker is going to play more, meaning CJ Uzomah should play less. So I don't know if he's doing that quiet accountability piece, but he's gonna have to start holding a little more feet to the fire here, or else he's going to go bye-bye as well.
I mean, he's probably going to end up going bye-bye anyway. I mean, if you listen to the comments that he's making, like today, he said if Aaron knows his body, he'll know better than anybody. So if he's ready to play, he's going to play.
Yeah.
Like, you have abdicated all responsibility. Him, Joe Douglas, Woody Johnson, they basically sold the team to Aaron Rodgers. And that's what I see.
Absolutely. But, and Jet fans have bought it. And that's why I didn't say it's Nate Hackett's fault. Because if we're getting rid of Nate Hackett, we're getting rid of Aaron Rodgers. He ain't staying. So.
No. Completely. But jumping off the Jets for a second, but we're staying in the AFC East. We're adjacent to the Jets since they are playing this team this week, and they're playing the Bills. And despite having a healthy QB, despite having one of the best wideouts in the game, the Bills are only 5-5. And they seem lost. Like, they seem absolutely unable to get out of their own way. What is wrong with the Buffalo Bills?
I again, I think it stems from the quarterback, and it stems from him being reckless with the ball and trying to do too much. I mean, it's even evident in the first time they played the Jets. The man was just laying his body out like he was Teflon, and fumbling and throwing interceptions. And, you know, like, to me, I think they ride or die with him. And if he's going to be the turnover machine that he is right now, because he leads the NFL in turnovers, they're going to continue to suffer. I don't think their defense is good enough anymore. I think they lost some key parts, good enough anymore to keep that at bay with him being reckless. So he's really going to have to curve it in. The five games they've won, he's been a lot better and, you know, a little more careful with the football. But, you know, you can't lose. I mean, even the Jets beat the Broncos at this point. So, like, to me, that was a bad loss at home. So, I don't know. But, you know, I'm not confident that we're going to go in there and beat them. I'm not saying that. Don't
and
get me wrong.
We're not making our picks yet, guys. This is a teaser. This is an absolute teaser at the moment. But, you know, like, it's amazing to me. And D and I have talked about this a bunch of times. Doesn't matter. It was Daboll, Dorsey, now it's gonna be this other guy. They've never developed a running game. Joe Brady's he's nothing. But they've never ever developed a running game outside of Josh Allen.
Yep.
Like, it makes absolutely no sense. I mean, Devin Singletary had a monster game in Houston.
Yeah, they've had good backs. James Cook is actually pretty decent.
Zach Moss was great.
Yep.
Before he got hurt, Zach Moss was doing great. What is going on with this system that running backs just cannot get it going in the Buffalo system?
They probably don't want to look at Stephon Diggs every time they hand the ball off. Probably gets mad.
Oh, my God.
I'll take James Cook over Dalvin Cook, though.
100%. Every day.
I mean, absolutely. At this point in his career, like, you have to wonder, you know, what Dalvin Cook's trajectory is going to be, because he's just
hold on a second. Dalvin did look good.
He had a
carry. He got.
He had a couple of.
He's like, I might not see the ball for another month. Let me go.
They need to give the rock to Izzy and let him roll. So.
Yeah, but Dalvin Cook has looked really good. Looked exceptionally good. In a very, very limited role. I think he's had, what, under 300 carries? Like, under 100 carries for the year.
Before last week, he looked terrible. He just looked flat. Last week, he showed some spark. So, I'm willing to give him another chance.
Is Rusty or fresh? Which one is he?
he's not fresh. I'm telling you, he's not. He had a spark. But to me, Breece Hall should be a 20 to 25 carry back. The fact that he gets 10... is stupid.
100%. They don't know what the hell they're doing, and they've established that. But speaking of another organization that seems to not know what the hell they're doing, we'll get you out of here on this one. We know you're a Knick fan. They are 5-5. They're in the 10th spot. They were in fifth last year. They had, you know, they had a good season by their standpoint. Boston seems to have a superior lineup to last year. The Bucks are the Bucks, adding Dame Lillard. The Sixers seem to be better without James Harden.
Everybody is.
Well, I mean, get ready to learn Chinese, buddy. So, how are you feeling about the Knicks' start to the season, and are they going to be there at the end?
I think they will. I think it's early. I'd like to say they're feeling each other out, but it's the same darn team as last year, so I don't know what they're feeling out here. You know, like, Julius is starting to get a little bit, you know, better shooting percentage. He was terrible the first couple of games. RJ's been out, spotty in the lineup. I think their rotation needs to maybe tighten up a little bit, and definitely end the game with a better lineup of, you know, I didn't like the Obi Toppin move, to be honest, because now I think they run less and they have less, you know, energy in the fast break, because he was kind of a finisher in that. So I think they're going to have to figure that out, because right now they seem one-dimensional, and that's let Jalen Brunson, RJ, or Julius shoot And if they're off, it's over.
I mean, that's pretty much. That's the one thing that they had going for them that last year is that they kind of played over their heads a little bit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see. Do they have the pieces to make an in-season trade for a big-name player to kind of recalibrate the team?
That's what everybody keeps saying. I don't know who that player is. I don't think Embiid's leaving the 76ers, and that's the only one I can think
of. Oh, it's going to be James Harden.
Here's who it's going to be. I got it for you. It's going to be either Paul George or Kawhi Leonard, because they're going to be playing with James Harden and be like, fuck this.
Get me out of here.
I'm done.
I take either of those two. Yeah, that's that's fine.
Oh, man. Clinton D'Souza, Coach Clinton D'Souza, thank you for coming on, brother. Thank you for joining us again on the In Route. And if you want to be a member of the In Crowd, you know what to do. Hit us up, FadeRouteMail@gmail.com. Slide in our DM on IG at FadeRoute Podcast. Drop us a DM on X at FadeRouteDNZ. And you, yes, you, could be the latest member and the newest guest on the In Crowd. Coach Clinton D'Souza, thanks for coming on, brother, and we will have you on again very, very soon.
All right. Looking forward to it. Take care, guys. Thank you.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today for all your Fade Route merch needs. I'm talking tank tops, t-shirts, sweatshirts, like yoga pants, we got those too. Like some cool accessories, we got those too. And we're not done yet. We have so much more planned for you, but check out what we have today at the Fade Store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade Store with DNZ.com. The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. We put up a poll on our X account at Fade Route Podcast, and you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout-out on this here show and takes home the coveted-ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted-ass trophy last week?
I don't.
Arthur Smith. For benching and burying Bijan Robinson.
Bijan.
Why? We still don't know. Was he sick? Was he hurt? Did he have naked pictures in a compromising position? We don't know. But what I do know is that Tyler Allgeier was getting snaps ahead of Bijan. But that is last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
All right, first up, I've got the LA Clippers, 0-5 since acquiring James Harden, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Russell Westbrook can't figure out how to get a W. LA Clippers, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, Bill Belichick, 10-7 going into the fourth quarter. And the last drive, you decide to go with Bailey Zappi. That's just cruel, man. Bill Belichick, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And last but not least, Buffalo Bills firing Ken Dorsey. Even though you got your top five in points per game and defensive and special teams penalties cost the game on Monday night, but Ken Dorsey has to take the fall. Buffalo Bills, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. What do you got, Z?
Good choices. Really good choices. I'm going to start with Brian Cashman.
Ah, that guy.
Going on record, saying the thing that should not be said, right? That's the stuff that you say behind closed doors, not what you say in front of the microphone. that Giancarlo Stanton, of course, is going to get hurt because he's an injury-prone player. And we got to figure that out. You've now, and maybe this was designed to poison the well. Maybe that's what you were trying to do. But you now have a situation where you have a disgruntled slugger. You have an agent poisoning the well with prospective free agents saying, this is how New York and this is how Brian Cashman treats you. Why are you going to go there? Talk about cutting off your nose to spite your face. Right? What leverage do you have in any potential trade now? Because he now wants out. You done played yourself. Congratulations, Brian. You played yourself. Brian Cashman, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Draymond Green. Five games. Yeah, five games for trying to choke out Rudy Gobert last night. Was it worth it, Draymond? I don't think so. How many instances have to occur? How many times does this have to happen with Draymond Green? It's always something. And now he's escalating, right? The stomping on Sabonis, the Jordan Poole situation. Now he's just straight up yoking Rudy Gobert and putting him in a rear naked choke. On the court. On the court. Adam Silver really needs to start considering that maybe Draymond Green is an issue. I mean, common sense would say so, right? Draymond Green, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And then, last but not least, the Cleveland Browns. Spent all that money, fully guaranteed on Deshaun Watson. He took a nice little extended vacation. He was injured. Came back, and now he's done for the year. With a shoulder fracture. How's that contract looking now?
Yikes.
It's looking really, really bad. Nobody. And The Rock means nobody. Was handing up that deal, except for you. And now you have major league egg on your face because your franchise quarterback, the guy who took all the money, the guy whose salary is prohibiting you from rebuilding and refortifying your team, he's hurt again. So now you're relying on Dorian Thompson and PJ Walker to take this home. Gotta look this one in the mirror, boys. This is a problem. Cleveland Browns, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece, though. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominee.
Just do better, boys. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay faded, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.